Business and construction in the Gaza Strip remain stifled half a year after Israel announced it would ease its three-year-old blockade so needy people could get supplies. That's according to a new report by rights groups and aid agencies working inside the Palestinian territory. They accuse Israel of ducking promises to ease the blockade's effects on civilians, a pledge it made after an Israeli commando raid in May on an international flotilla, which was protesting the restrictions. Christian Aid is one of the contributors to the report. Lydia O'Kane spoke to the agency's emergency advocacy officer for the Middle East, Hanan Amasu, who told her more about the findings.
This report, it doesn't really paint a great picture of life in Gaza and what's been going on, does it?
Sadly, no. Unfortunately, it's not unexpected. I mean, when Israel announced that it was going to ease the blockade, many of us were concerned that there was going to be too much focus on superficial measures and not enough focus on actually ending the blockade, which has been confirmed as collective punishment repeatedly by the international community. So what we've unfortunately been able to see is that 5 months on, there has been very little difference. While you do see some increase in consumer goods coming in, there is a welcome entry of some construction materials. It's not nearly enough as what will be needed to be able to actually rebuild Gaza properly after the destruction of almost 2 years ago. Just to give you an indication of some of the flow of goods that's coming in terms of construction materials. At the rate that they're coming in now, it would take probably about 80 years to rebuild the destruction that occurred over the last 2 years.
Helen, is it a case of Israel going back on promises it made?
Well, clearly the promises aren't being fulfilled. I mean, this is something that Israel had committed itself to do. It publicly stated after the attacks on the flotillas to Gaza that it was going to implement these easing measures, but unfortunately, they've just not been enough, and they haven't even met the standards that they had already set. I mean, you've got, the imports of construction materials are still only at 11% of the pre-blockade levels. You've got little change in terms of the entry and exit of people coming in into the Gaza Strip and people coming out of the Gaza Strip for humanitarian cases such as medical assistance. You've seen actually a decrease in the number of UN humanitarian staff that are allowed to enter the Gaza Strip. And what is the most critical aspect of this is that in order for any real change to happen, you need to have the economy revitalized. You need to have that regeneration of people working and being able to produce and ensure their own livelihoods. And without exports from the Gaza Strip, which was what the territory was actually very reliant on for some time, which the easing doesn't address, then there will be no hope for that really happening. I mean, the ban on exports is still essentially there. So it precludes people, farmers, for example, from harvesting their crops and being able to export them. And rather, it makes a community that has become heavily reliant on humanitarian assistance. So you're talking about 80% of the population, which is 1.5 million people. 80% of that population is now reliant on some form of humanitarian assistance. If you think about the fact that over 50% of that population are children, what does that mean for the future?
Does the Israeli argument hold any weight at all? I mean, it says that the blockade is needed to keep Hamas, which has been, they say, has been firing rockets into southern Israel, from building up an arsenal. I mean, does it hold weight with regard to the blockade?
I think it's been repeatedly showed that the blockade is actually not about security. I mean, Israel itself has stated that it's a form of warfare against Hamas and everybody, and it's been repeated over and over again that this is actually an illegal blockade. It's a form of collective punishment on the civilian population that actually is not responsible for those attacks. And let's not forget that actually there is a closure policy in place in Gaza. It was in place before the blockade in 2007. The blockade is just an intensification of that policy. So at the moment, what needs to happen is a lifting of that blockade. There are security protocols that Israel has implemented for decades now that sufficed before the blockade. So that it doesn't seem like an appropriate justification when in the past those security needs have been met.
I wanted to ask you, Hanan, about just the situation at present in the country, the infrastructure, how people are living generally, things like unemployment. I mean, how bad are things?
I've been coming and going to Gaza for several years now, and what strikes me now is not so much the physical destruction It's more the destruction of hope in people, and that's what's really more prevalent than anything else. I mean, I think when you're talking about it, or a community that's been isolated now for almost 4 years, and before that even more so, because there were restrictions in place on people entering and exiting Gaza, it's had a very, very severe impact on the way that the population sees the world. People are unable to look to the future. People don't plan for the future. Even organizations find it very difficult to plan the weeks or months ahead of them. So it's impacted psychologically on the community in terms of really thinking about the present and not thinking about how things could be in the future. And I think when you're also talking about a community that has become so reliant on humanitarian assistance, 40% unemployment, one of the highest rates in the world, and 80% dependent on humanitarian assistance, then what kind of culture does that create for the future when children see that their parents are not able to work but are rather standing in line for vouchers for food, when 40,000 children have been turned away for education this year because of the inability to provide structures for schools? What does that mean for the future generations?
What is the way forward in all this? Further negotiation with Israel?
I think too much focus has been on the negotiations and less on actually putting pressure on Israel to lift the blockade. I mean, what the easing has done is lifted that pressure from Israel rather than actually making a substantial change for Palestinians in Gaza. So what needs to happen first and foremost, and what we're calling for this, as a coalition of 22 different agencies, is the immediate, unconditional, complete lifting of the blockade. I mean, there needs to be a recognition that without that happening, no real steps towards a viable peace process can go forward.